Good morning, Northern Michigan. Welcome to Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by O'Dowell Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Jerry Coyne is in studio with Keith Gave and Rich Calkins. And Keith, you're still
Go green.
Go green.
There he goes. It's our show now, Rick.
All right, here we go. Keith, as JC has exited stage right, what are you going to say?
Sorry, JC, I'm sorry.
MSU now has won 10 of the last 14 games against...
Yeah.
Unbelievable. That
since the comment.
Yeah, yeah. Right. They, that was the game that Michigan had. I mean, they absolutely...
Oh.
16-point lead, third quarter. They're moving the ball up and down the field. The defense is playing great.
Mm-hmm.
It was Michigan's game.
I got to tell you, I thought to the very end, even, you know, that last drive,
Michigan,
I'm thinking they're going to score.
Drive down.
They're going to win the game. They had, honestly, I think they outplayed Michigan State the whole game. The one mistake at the end. Cade McNamara played a great game.
Great game.
Michigan State got the did what it had to do, came up with a big play, but that was a hell of a good college football game, I thought.
Did you see
the ratings for that game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Through the roof.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, when you draw that national audience like that, I mean, for sure, more eyes on it. Like you said, it was an incredible game. But
yeah, it to me is completely inexplicable how Michigan could not stop the run. I've taken a long time to analyze that game, and people like Kenneth Walker ran roughshod over the Michigan defense. How many times did Michigan tackle him for loss? The only thing that I can think of, and, you know, McDonald has done a great job de-coordinating this Michigan defense, but every single one of those breakout touchdowns happened on a play where the Michigan defense converged into an area where Walker was bottled up and was able to spin out and there was nobody there.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to quantify it because it was like a Barry Sanders game. You know, Sanders tackled in the back for, you know, a great length of the game.
Yep.
But if you break down his carries, there was 7 positive carries over 3 yards. All of them went for touchdowns.
Yeah.
Incredible.
The rest of them were went nowhere.
It was feast or famine.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And how, they don't have Dax Hill. Don't run into the crowd. Just wait to see what happens on the play.
Exactly.
You know,
some of those plays, JC, when he breaks through the initial line of scrimmage, there's not a linebacker or a safety in sight.
I know.
I mean, it is nothing but green turf and going into the end zone.
And the ridiculous thing was is that the thing that I was more concerned about is big passing plays. State only threw the ball over 10 yards, completed one 10-yard pass the entire game.
Yep.
They bottled up. They did a great job on Thorne. I mean, how many times was he sacked? I just think Harbaugh is snake bit. I honestly believe that. It's like a Chicago Cubs thing. Like you said, Michigan outplayed them. I mean,
they did everything they needed to do except win the game.
After they scored that touchdown in the beginning of the third period, like, I told you there was an opportunity. I thought Michigan could actually lay the wood on Michigan State.
And early in the third quarter, it looked like that's exactly the way it was going to play out.
And the one thing I will give Michigan State 100% credit for is they completely stopped. Michigan ran the ball effectively in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
They did not at all in the second half.
Right. That's right.
But it didn't look like they had to. And Michigan did go away from continuing to throw the ball over the middle of the tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
We were texting about that, guys, and I said, here it is. Here's the Stanford offense. Tight ends wide open down the middle every single play. And McNamara hit all those passes, and, you know, it was off to the races. State had nothing they could do about it. The way the offense and Michigan found a new star.
They sure did.
Wearing number one. I'm like, who the hell is that?
A kid from East Lansing.
And that was his first catch, and he took it to the house.
That was a good story. It would have been the story of the game afterward if they had won.
Yes. But it's just like, as well as McDonald has done defensively, whoever the play caller getting the calls in a timely manner.
Yeah, that was a problem.
That was a huge issue throughout the game.
That was the one touchdown that they gave up on the 6 yard line. That
right.
was completely out of that play.
And even when they were lined up at times, because a lot of times you see that Michigan defense flying around before the snap, they're not in place. Even times they were in place, you see their heads turned to the sideline still, and Michigan State is snapping the ball.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
they just weren't ready at times, and that's 100% coaching issue right there.
Yeah. So what leads me to the question, we're not going to spend a whole segment on what happened a week ago. How is State only a 3-point favorite at Purdue?
Purdue's played some pretty good football.
In spots.
Yep.
And I worry about a letdown. This game scares the hell out of me.
No, there's definitely a letdown. But the question for me is, okay, yeah, I can see an overall letdown. There's State played by far and away the best game they played all year.
Yep.
And so you're never going to reach that level 2 weeks in a row. Okay, that's just a given. But is Purdue going to be able to stop Kenneth Walker Jr.? Or is he going to have a head
good against the run?
Is he going to have spent so much time with the gals in the last week that there's nothing, you know, like a boxer?
He's got no legs left.
Right, yeah.
No legs.
Scott Van Pelt picked Purdue. I heard a number of people nationally picking Purdue. You don't even need the points. Take them on the money line. That would be a ridiculous response to this major win to Michigan to lose at Purdue.
In years past, it would be a typically Michigan State thing to do. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to learn a lot more about this team and this coach,
mm-hmm.
the way they play this game. I'll wait and see before I start picking Purdue. I will say the game scares me, but I don't see Michigan State losing this game.
And I read some stuff last night that Purdue actually offensively plays worse at home than they do on the road for some reason, whatever that means.
Well, they are called the Spoiler Makers. They've been their tradition since I was a kid.
That's right.
For sure.
You know, they beat Notre Dame a couple times when Notre Dame was marching towards a national championship.
Yep.
And it always happens at home, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, so... Yeah. Yeah, but I just can't figure that. I mean, if State just plays their P's and Q's and they don't turn the ball over, then I don't see how they can possibly lose this game.
That's another thing, turning the ball over.
Well,
that's a problem, too. The Boilermakers intercept a lot of passes.
They do.
This is scary on many levels for me.
Speaking of turnovers, how was the fumble, the touchdown, overturned? Called a touchdown on the field. Are you telling me, after the 19 different angles and versions they played of that, that that was definitive, that that was not a fumble? That's a that's 4 points. That sends that game into overtime,
yeah.
Which would have been absolutely incredible to see that game go into overtime.
I thought it was a touchdown. I didn't think it was going to be
overturned. I don't know how that was.
Right.
There was a couple
I was shocked.
You know, and you can't blame the officials. I don't think any of those guys were from Columbus. The only other thing that I pointed out in that game that was a little suspicious is the first drive that State had to score a touchdown in response in the third quarter after Michigan scored, is they had three third downs that the officials called no good, then incredibly lengthy video reviews. You come back from a commercial, oh, no, State, actually, Dick, I did catch the football. It's another first down. You know, I've been texting you guys for weeks. I am so tired of flags in football. I'm almost to the point of not watching anymore. And that game last night, Rich.
Right. NFL game. Unwatchable.
Unwatchable. I mean, there was more commercials played in that football game than plays of football. I'm getting this close. If this wasn't part of my job, I'd be watching the baking shows with my wife. I'm serious.
What kind of sprinkles do you want on those cookies?
I remember going to Michigan football games that took 2 hours.
Oh, yeah, I know.
That Michigan-Michigan State game took over 4 hours to play on television, and it didn't go to overtime.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know.
No, I know. That's a problem. College football has a problem. And this is not new. I remember talking with Mac Brown at Texas 20 years ago about the, this has been a problem for a long time. These games can't go 4+ hours.
And the replay is fixable. They should be any questionable go to command center. They're watching that replay before they even look at it. They can tell to the referees what it was and move along.
And the referee doesn't even have a decision. What is he looking for in that screen? And then somebody telling him, well, this is what you're going to go out and say.
Yeah.
You know what? To give the illusion of something, to, you know, and why aren't you just running more commercials instead of us looking at a referee and then, oh, let's cut to Harbaugh, let's cut to Tucker. It's just, I don't know if it's going to get fixed, Keith, because there's so much money involved. And, you know, run those frickin' commercials. But, you know, I talked to some people that were at the game, Rich, and they're like, what is going on?
Yeah, when you're sitting at the stadium of a great game and all these breaks
with no alcohol in the game,
they're just like, "Oh my gosh!"
But yeah, we mentioned State possible trap game. Michigan's huge favorites in a night game against Indiana.
Who's playing a freshman quarterback?
Yeah, well, that's Indiana has been a massive disappointment. I guess if Michigan comes out and smacks Indiana around and everything else, then the good ship lollipop maybe stays on the rails. But I can tell you, as a Michigan fan with a huge cadre of people on my phone, if Harbaugh doesn't beat Ohio State, I don't know what happens. I really don't, because Michigan fans are at an end. You know what I said last year. There's no way Harbaugh was leaving under the circumstances of the season and everything else. But, you know, if you can't win any big games, I don't care what your record is, it's going to look bad on paper.
Right.
But and I don't know who you get to replace him.
That's the issue, yes.
That doesn't matter. Yes. At some point in time, you know, I guess they have a couple of, you know, a huge recruiting year. We'll see if that holds serve or whatever. I think Michigan has a better-than-average opportunity to beat Ohio State, because we saw, if you watched the Penn State game, this is not a colossal
Ohio State
team. Michigan can beat this football team. I think Michigan State can go down there and beat them.
Yeah, I do too.
There's a real possibility.
Those are going to be great football. But Michigan State's got his work cut out for him to stay number three in the football playoff
rankings. They have all the ingredients that they need. I think they're solid in all three phases, and they've got a good coach. And, you know, people, they have caught a few people unaware, but they didn't catch Michigan unaware, and I don't think they're going to catch Penn State or Ohio State unaware. That would be the game that I'd be worried about, Penn State.
Yeah.
Penn State's got a great defense.
They do.
Yep. Michigan's going to have their work cut out for them going there and playing at night against that defense. They're going to have everything.
It's going to be wild.
Yeah, it's going to be a wild game.
That Michigan running game, too, they tend to run in between the tackles almost every play. Even with Corum, their speed guy, constantly. No pitch plays to spread them out horizontally. Do some things. Use all the football field. It just, you can clog up the middle when you're playing between the hash marks all game. In the run game, it's easier to defend.
I thought of that, too. He's a quick little dude. Why wouldn't
you get him outside sometimes. It drives me crazy. Yeah.
Well, and who's the freshman, the kid?
Wes Bloomfield, running back kid, yeah.
Yeah, his dad played for Michigan as well. His name escaped me. He didn't play. He was a little banged up. I thought they were going to actually use him as a game changer.
Right.
But we did see the tight end game, which really backs this up. Now, maybe that's the other thing they're keeping in their back pocket, Rich, for Ohio State.
Is to start exploiting the outside and then...
Well, they might have to use it for Penn State. We'll see that. Like I said, that Penn State defense is for absolute, for real. And Ohio State's off defense is average at best.
Average.
I mean, when Clifford throws for 360 yards or whatever at Ohio State, they're lucky that game wasn't at Penn State. Ohio State loses that football game if that's at Penn State. So... and they're kind of on an upset alert against at Nebraska. People are, you know, you got these treading water games leading up to.
Sure.
So we've had the first game, Michigan-Michigan State. Michigan's still got to play Penn State and Ohio State. State's got to play Penn State and Ohio State, and Ohio State's got Michigan and Michigan State. That's going to be an interesting 1-2 combo because they've got Michigan State at home and then play Michigan the following week. So nothing has been decided. Kudos to State.
By a long shot.
Yeah, kudos to State. I mean, if they hold the all the cards. State holds all the cards.
Yep.
They went out. They're going to the playoffs.
And something you mentioned, Scott Frost, that would go a long ways in making him look better in Nebraska fans' eyes if they were to upset.
I don't think he's going to survive. I don't think Frost is going anywhere because he's in the same boat as Harbaugh.
Who are you going to get to come to Nebraska?
It's not even that. I mean, look what he did at Central Florida. I mean, they were talked about in the bowl championship series. They had two. They were undefeated. They were so named national champions.
Yes.
They only lost one game the next year.
Self-proclaimed, yes.
How can you not? Who are you getting to Nebraska?
That's what I said.
Is Tom Osborne coming out of retirement? I don't think so.
Luke Fickell?
Football.
Luke Fickell is not going to Nebraska.
I know.
Football's changed since Tom Osborne was at Nebraska, for sure.
How do you feel if you're a Cincinnati fan right now? Yeah. You're 8-0, and you're the college football playoff rankings got you ranked 6.
Beat Notre Dame and Indiana. That is a travesty.
Yeah.
And you don't.
I really
no
think
one,
they should be in the top four.
On the schedule to really boost them up.
SMU, who lost.
Yep.
I mean, they're screwed.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody. Alabama's got to lose again. Michigan State's got to lose. Ohio State. I mean, they're screwed, and it sends a horrible message. The only thing I can think of, the reason why they voted it that way, because they could have easily kept voting him down, Keith.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that they're like, okay, we need to push the powers that be into expanding, and when you take a look at this, all the people that are saying like. Okay, Cincinnati's in this year and they make the playoffs, then everybody goes, oh, well, the system's not broken.
It's perfect.
Right.
Look
and
at this.
The Power Five conferences just tabled the decision
until
more meetings on December 1st. They need to make a decision by the end of the year, but they keep putting it off, and you're right. There might be a little bit of politics.
I think there's a little subterfuge there. That's the only thing I can figure because
that makes
I would say it's just complete idiocy, but this is not the NCAA that makes this vote.
No.
Different people.
That's right.
Speaking of NCAA idiocy, how about what they did to Oklahoma
State?
Unbelievable.
Admitting, what, $300? Is that what it was over this? You'll never get another college admitting they did wrong.
I think this is their last kick at the can. They're like, we know we're finished anyways, so let's just deliver some gut punch
let's
to
have
someone.
Some fun.
Before we blow up the offices, because that was the death knell of the NCAA.
Shameful. It sure is.
Yeah, it's shameful. When we return here on Up North Sports Radio, Finding Friday Faceoff. Boy, they got a whole bunch of things going on here. We'll deal with these in a minute, guys. But we still have a big slate of NFL games. Couldn't come at a better time for the Lions to take a little dirt nap, as it were. We've got some Tigers news already.
Yeah, baby.
We're going to talk a little Major League Baseball. I got a question for Keith about that. And, of course, at the end, we'll talk about the upcoming slate. Some interesting games that happened over the weekend. In high school football.
And we're going to talk a little bit of Red Wings hockey and their captain being AWOL right now, too.
Well, is he with, what's his name? Who's the guy taking the, everybody's taking time off for psychological, not Julio Jones, but who's the other wide receiver?
Oh, yes.
Atlanta.
Yes.
Yeah, it's...
Something's going on.
Mental illness week in professional sports. All that and more here on Friday Faceoff on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by... Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Welcome back to Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio. I was just talking to Rich.
The Barstool guys?
Yeah, the Barstool guys are on at 3 o'clock here. And I don't know how they do it, Rich, because they... I've seen the podcast. It's profane.
Oh, yes.
It is like the Big Lebowski talking sports. And they're right on the trigger with the beeps, and that's why it's even in the liner there. That show is hilarious.
Yep.
I mean, it is so politically incorrect. I don't know how they get away with doing it. I honestly don't.
It is. In today's world, it is pretty shocking that they're, like you said, are able to get away with certain things.
Ask Robert Sarver about political correctness, because he's about ready to get both barrels.
Yep.
Anyways, guys, we'll talk about the NFL. Just very briefly, we've been pretty complimentary of Dan Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the hell happened on Sunday. I really don't. I know Keith.
The Eagles heard that this was a winnable game for the Lions, and they absolutely came out and squashed that theory right away.
Does that mean Nick Sirianni is that much better of a football coach than Dan Campbell, or is that the difference? You know, we had talked all preseason and everything else. Looks like the offensive line is a strength of this football team.
Oh.
Penei Sewell has been as good as advertised. You know, we had a couple of guys, the second stringers, because of injuries and everything else, has been on that O-line. But the O-line has been pretty good. But I don't know what the hell happened in that game, because the offensive line was moving backwards, whether mm-hmm. it was a pass play or a run play. And, you know, Jared Goff, God bless him, he looked like Matt Stafford in his rookie season, running for his life.
And, you know, JC, you've been complimentary, you especially, and we have agreed with you, about players seeming to like one another on this team. You know, they were in the foxhole together, and they're playing for one another. I didn't see much of that on Sunday, man. There was a lot of quitting going on that football field. It was atrocious.
It was. It was the ugliest game this year by the Lions, by far.
Oh,
by
it's one of the ugliest games in a decade of ugly games by the Lions. And I don't know. I didn't see Campbell or hear his remarks or whatever. I don't know if he had a bottle of peppermint schnapps in a paper bag. You know, and it's an awful way to go into the bye. God knows where this football team is headed.
Yeah.
You know.
Headed for 0-17.
Yeah.
That's fine. We need the players. And it's embarrassing. I mean, how many people were at Ford Field?
And the ones that were there were booing, and rightfully so.
Well, what is it going to look like on Thanksgiving?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I'm just, you know, Dan Campbell deserves better than this.
Yeah.
I don't know, and I think Lions fans deserve better than this.
You've been saying that for 50 years.
I know,
yeah.
You know.
But look what he did in Miami when he took over a turbulent locker room. Remember, that was a lot of stuff. There was that peer pressure stuff going on and, you know, bullying, all that stuff with a fellow teammate. He took over that locker room, and he basically had them play 500 football after that. And then he was a solid coach in that environment.
You know, I was – a lot of people liked the Lions to win, right? They were a bet of the week for a lot of people, especially getting 3.5. But probably the inverse was true. They did throw absolutely everything they had at the Rams. And when that win didn't come home, that may have taken a lot. It obviously took a ton of starch out of that team.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe the bye comes about. You know, they're certainly going to be one of the worst teams in football, if not the worst team in football. I mean, they could play Jacksonville every other game the rest of the year and just kind of keep their own division in football. So do we already start the speculation on do you take a quarterback or you take Thibodeau? Yeah,
Thibodeau. I've already played backseat GM already, and I think Thibodeau. I don't think there's a quarterback right now in the top part of the draft.
I mean, the only one that I could even think of is that Pickett kid, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Pickett looks like an NFL-ready quarterback.
This is what's maddening about the Detroit Lions.
I know.
Football.
We're halfway in the
seven
season.
Seven games into the season, and we're talking about the draft next
spring. Of course.
That's sickening.
It is.
Sickening.
So let's talk about the rest of the NFL, because there's a few not uninteresting things to discuss about the NFL. Well, there would have been, except for, you know, Derrick Henry goes down.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys were looking like Super Bowl champs.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the way that Tannehill and they have turned that the RPO with the total horror of Derrick Henry, the threat of Henry running the ball, the defense was playing better. That is just a crushing blow to a Titans team. And you saw the Colts like going, oh, it's on now, baby.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they played inspired last
and
night.
And the whole thing about Aaron Rodgers, why is it this not a bigger deal?
I completely agree.
Oh, my God. I've never seen a mask on the guy.
I'm sorry. But no, they're being investigated now because they're going to...
Investigated for what? So they're going to lose a six-round draft pick?
I think they're going to... I don't know. Who knows what the NFL will do?
This is the last straw for Rodgers.
I had it with him a long time ago.
I know you have.
He's such a condescending, thinks he's better than everybody.
Yeah.
Lying
diva.
Oh, exactly.
I've been immunized.
Hey,
give me a
break. Have you been vaccinated? And he shook his head. Yeah, you saw the video. Yeah. He shook his head. Yes,
well, I don't know
I've
if he had that antibody therapy because a lot of people do. Right. Have had that.
But
and
he
had
petitioned the NFL for it to see if they'd accept that. And
so
they
it.
Said, niche, you
yeah,
take
yeah.
like
but
everybody else.
He did it
else.
Anyways.
He
yeah.
did it.
And
yeah.
he lied about it.
He lied, absolutely, 100%.
Find the hell out of him, take a draft pick away. What else can you do?
Undisputed was very harsh with him.
Suspend him?
Yeah. I mean, Shannon Sharp, who's a big fan of Aaron Rodgers, absolutely called him out on the carpet. And he's been in his back pocket for a long time. But Shannon Sharp said absolutely not that he lied. He needs to be punished to the nth degree.
All right, so let's go through the slate of games real quick, guys, because there's not uninteresting questions on every side.
Yep.
New Orleans Saints look like world beaters, and Jameis
goes down.
Out. Okay, I mean... who was the guy that came in, Rich?
Who was it? Simeon.
Yeah.
Trevor Siemian.
Trevor Siemian.
Yeah, Northwestern guy.
Yeah, looked very good.
Yes.
I don't think Taysom Hill is back. They're given six.
And that
the
defense
Falcons.
Is tough as
yeah,
news.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I kind of like Atlanta. Getting the points.
Six and a half? Six.
Michael Thomas is out for the rest of the year. That is... Yeah. You know, there's just so many weird things going on in the league anymore. So I kind of like the Falcons with the points. I think the Saints will win, but there's going to be a huge letdown after what happened.
And what's shocking is Atlanta being as competitive as they are.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I really thought they'd be one of the really bad, bad teams of the NFL. Well, they're playing 500 ball.
Well, or they just have Tampa Bay's number, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Cowboys with Dak back and the Broncos offloading Von Miller.
Yeah.
That's, you know, so the Broncos have signed off on the season.
Yes. Look into next year.
And they've also signed off on their head coach. He's got Vic Fangio's on out the door, too.
Dallas by 10, you got him?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
I think that's easy.
Yep.
The Pats. You know, I wasn't sure. I thought for sure that the Chargers would beat the Patriots out there off the bye, but it looks like Belichick is working the magic again.
He's that magic wand. He just
they're 3.5-point favorites at Carolina.
Yeah. That, you know, I think the Patriots will win by touchdown with or without McCaffrey. This game is going to be interesting. The Ravens, you know, I'm coming off the bye with Harbaugh and what happened and everything else. I think they're just going to murder the Vikings. Vikings look like they're in turmoil now. Harbaugh, with especially the Ravens, got to be looking at the overall landscape of the AFC. And with the Titans out and the Chiefs falling apart, if I'm John Harbaugh, I'm like, this is us, guys.
Yep.
This is our Super Bowl. I don't care how many people got injured. We're going to the Super Bowl. I don't know if the Ravens will lose another game this year. That's my inside look at it.
And Kirk Cousins looks good statistically, but when you watch him with your own eyes, you're like, oh.
He
doesn't look good at all.
He's like, what's his name? Who is that? The guy, the quarterback, Rich, that played for Purdue and then was in the NFL. Fantastic arm. Or not for Purdue, for Illinois. Played in the league for a
Jeff
long
time. Jeff George?
Jeff George.
Yes.
Jeff Jordan still, I think, holds the record for
most
yardage ever thrown in high school. That guy was like, this is going to be the greatest quarterback in the history of mankind.
Yep.
And just never lived up to it.
Right.
And, you know, that's who Kirk Cousins kind of reminds
me of. Speaking of Cousins, did he ever get immunized?
No.
But he wears his
mask
everywhere. You know, and he owned it.
Same with Carson Wentz. He's not immune, but you see him on the sideline. He's always wearing it. Comes out after the game shaking hands with the mask, all that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, Aaron Rodgers lives on planet Aaron.
Yeah, he sure does.
This should be a great game. You know, I know the it's hard to figure out what's going on with the Browns. The Bengals, that looked like a trap game, but I didn't think they would actually physically lose to the Jets.
Right.
So now they've got the battle for Ohio. Some of these guys are coming back for the Browns. Odell's gone. I mean, you know, there's side stories up the yin yang.
That's right. That's right.
You mean that'll cause turmoil if you put a video out there of the starting quarterback for your son's team and say how bad he is? That's shocking. That would affect the locker.
No, he wasn't bad. Just that my son is open.
Yeah, he's open, and the quarterback's not getting him.
Throw my son the damn ball.
Right. No.
So Cincinnati's a 2.5-point favorite. You got him? Yeah. All right. That's going to be a really fun game.
Yeah, you know, I think I like the Browns getting the points. In a toss-up game, take the points.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, I don't think there's a home field advantage inside Ohio.
No, right.
Yeah. The Bills are going to absolutely murder the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yes.
Mitch Trubisky, I think, will have more yardage than Josh Allen. That is my prediction, because Mitch will be playing most of the second half.
Buffalo, 14.5 points?
Yeah, it's favorite. Not enough.
No, I don't think so either.
Now Miami and the Houston Texans in the I don't want Deshaun Watson
right.
Bowl.
Yeah.
But Tyrod Taylor's back, and the Texans played good football with Tyrod Taylor in the lineup.
Yeah.
I like them getting the points here.
5.5.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I'm really surprised that the Raiders didn't pick up Deshaun Jackson, unless they think they're going to get Odell Beckham, because with Ruggs, and that is just such a horrible.
What a tragedy. 154 miles an hour. I mean, are you serious?
In a neighborhood.
Oh.
It wasn't like it was out in the desert.
Yeah.
I mean, he was driving through a residential neighborhood at 3 o'clock in the morning at 154, you know.
Oh,
you know, he gets everything he deserves.
Absolutely.
But I think that the Raiders will continue to respond. I mean, I think they're going to start looking at, you know, we lost our coach. This has happened. The gods are not.
At some point, it's got to affect your locker room. I'm taking the Giants here. I don't know.
Are you?
The Giants look like trash.
They do. But
every once in a while,
across the country,
show up, and then there's other times you're just like, oh, they're horrible.
Yeah.
But
you know, and the Chargers have got to bounce back. I see.
They
know the Eagles. I don't care what they're at home and how good they looked against the Lions. I think the Chargers win by at least a touchdown.
I got Philadelphia in this game.
Wow.
They convinced me. I saw enough Sunday.
Really?
They're going to ride that little wave. They look pretty darn good.
I hope Santa Claus shows up and they boo Santa
really
Claus
good.
Again.
Okay. There we go. The defense looked good against who?
Detroit.
There's a vote of confidence. A vote of confidence right there. But.
All right.
I wish you bet, because I would bet you on that game. And then the Chiefs and the Packers, you know, I still what happened in this point spread, you know, opened the Cardinals were 2.5-point favorites, then it's pick 'em, and now the what did you got, the Packers getting a touchdown in the hook, or is it just 7?
I got 7.5 on my list.
I think the Packers are going to cover that. The Packers look good, tee to green. With or without Rodgers there, I
hope Love comes in for the Packers and plays well.
So do I.
I really do.
So do I. Yeah.
But I hope they lose, but I think he plays
Chiefs,
well.
But the Chiefs defense is worse than the Lions defense.
I think it might be.
And Patrick Mahomes is just a little scattered right now.
His priorities are out of whack. He's doing.
He's trying to be Jesus.
He's trying to do too many commercials. He's
believing a lot of that stuff. I mean, the no-look passes, the left-handed passes,
it worked for 3 years.
He's gotten away from fundamentally playing quarterback.
He's gotten away from himself.
No, I think I don't even think Love has to be the second incarnation of Aaron Rodgers. I think they're going to do a lot of RPOs with that running attack. Packers got a very good backfield. Jones and Dillon are very good.
Boston College kid. He's
Mercedes
tank.
Lewis is going to catch some balls. I think the Packers actually have a chance to win the football game.
Davante Adams is back, too.
Yeah, I think LaFleur is a better coach than most people give you credit for. Rodgers is a great quarterback.
No.
You can't deny.
No. Matt LaFleur, Pleasant, Michigan.
Their defense is getting way better.
Yeah.
Packers played great defense against the Arizona Cardinals.
And
great defense against the Arizona
Rashawn Gary is really stepping up.
Yeah, no doubt about it. They hired Jalen Smith and then they got rid of him. So obviously they think they're headed in the right direction.
Yep.
JC, how's your San Francisco 49ers going to do against
Arizona?
Oh,
God. You know, Garoppolo looked good.
Mm-hmm.
How they this thing is all over the map. Now, the Niners are favored?
-2, I got them. What do you got?
I got it. Well, this is the game opened them getting to. Now they're giving to.
Wow.
I don't understand what that's all about. I think it's a subterfuge. The Cardinals are coming off the bye. It is a division game that the Niners really need to be close.
Right.
But I don't see how the Arizona Cardinals lose this football game. And then another, as we mentioned earlier, guys, this Rams-Titans game would have been a fantastic football game.
Yeah.
And I think the Titans will play tough just to prove.
Right.
But, you know, with getting Von Miller on that team, how pumped up are the Rams going to be?
Yeah,
absolutely. You can't just
for it.
Double Aaron Donald every single play
give
with
them,
Von Miller.
Give
on
them
the
credit, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
right. Absolutely.
That's right. They see something at the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
There'll be nothing in the future drafts, but that's okay. They're going to win right now.
This marks the halfway point to the NFL season, and there's a big Sunday afternoon matchup between the game we just talked about, guys, Green Bay and Kansas City. FanDuel Sportsbook is about to make it even bigger. FanDuel is giving new customers 30-1 odds on either team to win. One of them's got to win, Rich.
That's
a
right.
pretty good bet. That means you can win $150 on a $5 bet. As I said, I kind of like the Packers, guys.
You want Jordan Love to come in there and work's the magic. Create a same-game parlay with the money line, point spread, touchdown scores, and more. FanDuel is sports betting made simple, and they're always hooking you up with great offers. Plus, when you win, you get paid in as little as 2 hours.
See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sports book. Sign up with promo code WGRY before Green Bay takes on Kansas City, and you could win $150 on a $5 bet. That's promo code WGRY. 21 and over and present in Michigan. New users only. $10 first bet required. Must wager in designated offer market. Max bonus $150. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problems? Call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help.
Back after these from our fine partners on Up North Sports Radio. Friday face-off. Maybe it was left over.
It could have been, yeah.
Welcome back to Friday Faceoff here on Up North Sports Radio, brought to us by Odawa Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey. Jerry Coyne with Rich Calkins and Keith Gabe. Keith, you're back out on the streets in Traverse City tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm excited about that, JC. You know, I was telling Jabo yesterday, this pandemic has kind of prevented a lot of, public appearances, speaking engagements, book signing events, and so on for the most of the last couple of years.
Right.
And it's going to be fun to get out there and kind of mingle with sports fans again. I'm excited to be at Legends North there and see everything they've gotten there. I'm looking forward to meeting up with Mickey Stanley, one of the most intriguing players on that 1968 World Series championship team.
Just a legendary ball team, and Mickey Stanley was a god.
Oh.
I mean, he's not in the Baseball Hall of Fame. He's never going to have his number retired by the Tigers. But this was a great-looking, I mean, the poster child for baseball. Yeah. How many years did he play? Did you happen to,
I think
he played like 12 years?
Oh, more than that, 14, 15 years.
Okay.
Came out of the Grand Rapids area, and Tiger signed him to a $12,000 bonus. He had trouble. He had trouble hitting early on, but he that came around for him. Won several Gold Gloves in center field, and frankly, a lot of people. I did some research on.
I knew
a little background.
We can count on your research.
That move that Mayo Smith made, bringing him in from center field, where he was a Gold Glove center fielder, to shortstop to play in the World Series.
Oiler was hitting 165.
Oiler was like less than that. I think it was 147. But he also opened it up the right field spot for a guy named Al Kaline, by the way. And so you got your big three out there, Northrop, Willie Horton, and Al Kaline. And Mickey Stanley comes in and plays shortstop. There are people out there calling it one of the top two or three gutsiest moves in the history of sports.
Well, it kind of rescued Mayo Smith's reputation because Mayo, you know, Mayo was the...
Lynn Henning and I go
Hold
the Mayo, that's right. That's right.
I don't need any mail right now. Just bring another double Manhattan.
That's right. But, you know, it worked. They won. I mean, Northrop wound up hitting that triple over Kurt Flood's head in center fielder.
They were big underdogs in that series, right?
So Keith's going to be calling into our show tomorrow, Rich, as we're wrapping up the high school scoreboard show. And then, Keith, so you're going to be there at 11?
I'll be there at 11, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to be there at 10:15.
Yeah. What time do you want me on?
Our show is from 10
to
11.
11. Yep.
10
so,
to 11. So
yeah,
before
so
11.
Yeah, a little bit before 11.
All right.
Although we don't have a hard out.
No, we don't. We have a soft out.
Yeah, so we'll figure that out. I'll tell you, we don't want to have the ins and outs over the radio. But since and Keith will be signing his fantastic book, The Russian Five, so if you haven't gotten it yet, great opportunity to for a great Christmas present and have it endorsed to whomever you want to give it to from the great Keith Gave. And speaking of the game of hockey, we are now having the games being played by a lot of different forces at work here, Keith. Talk about Dylan Larkin and you know, is Bertuzzi, after seeing them get beat in Canada, is he going to take a harder look at maybe getting vaccinated?
I don't think so.
That's
I
crazy.
Don't think so.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't want to get vaccinated, and you know, he's going to miss 9 games there. He's going to cost them over $400,000. They haven't played well in the 3 games. They've lost all 3. 2 in Montreal, where they were horrendous.
And Montreal stinks.
Yeah.
And Montreal's terrible.
They won one other game other than...
Yeah, they won 3
they
games, 2 of them against
night
Detroit. Yeah.
At home.
They played a pretty good game in Toronto. But, you know, now they're playing without their captain, Dylan Larkin. And that really worries me. And nobody's saying anything about it.
No.
So we're
like we talked off air, I don't think you can. If this is a mental illness, the way things have exploded in sports about not being mentally prepared to play.
Right.
Rich, you said it on the off air.
Yep.
You were called soft back
in the day, right.
But you can't do that now.
No.
It's the same thing as the N-word or anything else.
Yep.
You cannot call somebody out.
I get that. I get all that. But I have a problem with the Detroit media right now, both newspapers. I got to tell you, we're 5 days into this thing.
Yeah.
This would have never happened on my watch. It would have been unacceptable if we didn't have information about what the hell's going on with Captain Steve Yzerman because he's pulled a chute in 2 games. That wouldn't, first of all, it never would have happened. And second of all, we should have...
Well, because you were worried about losing your spot then and everything else.
We should have reporters on Dylan Larkin's doorstep. We should have it at his home, his parents' home in Waterford. We should be out there finding out what the hell's wrong with this guy. Talk about the captain of the hockey team here.
Well,
and it's, go ahead.
No, you're right. But this is also a privilege of greatness, Rich, because if this is a guy on the third wing and everything else, his ass is out to the Griffins.
Yep.
Same thing in football or any sport.
Right.
You know, Kevin Love, God bless Kevin Love for coming out and saying all the things that he had wrong with him and everything else. But if it was Jerry Coyne who showed up, you know, on the stat sheet once every 6 games, it's not a story.
Right.
It's not anything because you just lose your job.
Yeah.
And Dylan Larkin and Aaron Rodgers and the Odell Beckhams, if this was Jerry Coyne, the wide receiver, it's not a story.
Yeah.
He's playing in the AAFL or whatever the hell, you know, it's or not playing in the AAFL. So.
I don't know. Yeah, but it's our job to speculate a little bit, shed some light on this thing. I have heard whispers, only whispers, not recently, but in his past, that he might have liked to drink a little bit too much, which hockey players tend to do, you know. I don't know if he's got an alcohol problem or substance abuse problem, and he's getting help for it. If he is, say so.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to have a problem with that. Step up. I got a problem I want to take care of.
Just call it the lower body injury.
Or, people are so much more accepting nowadays that you're just honest with people. Just don't hide stuff.
It kind of makes me think that this might have been what Steve Yzerman was thinking about when he waited so long
to give him the C.
Exactly. You know, he wanted to see for himself. Yeah. And now we have an issue. There's an issue.
There is an
issue.
And
it's serious.
Yes.
And again, I want to let people know I'm speculating here. I don't know. I have no inside information. But this is serious, and the Detroit media better get to work and figure this thing out.
Guys, this is a short segment, so I do want to touch on the Pistons. You know, Cade Cunningham had a double-double last night, looked okay.
Yep.
And it's hard for me to determine what's going on with the Pistons. Because the teams that they're finally going to get a team, they play the Nets tonight.
Yeah, they have a rough schedule.
I mean, oh my God, the NBA just, you know, the only thing the question mark was how good the Bulls are going to be. I'm making a ton of money on the Bulls. The Bulls are really good.
Oh, they're really good.
Really good. That they play the Rockets.
Okay.
And the Cavaliers are very good. I made a lot of money betting on the Cavaliers, and then they got the Raptors and the Kings. So the schedule eases up a little bit, so we'll see if they start playing some games. They started out awful last year. The same thing happened last year. They had a horrible schedule to begin with.
Yeah.
It took Casey a while to accompany him. So don't give up on the Pistons, but man.
Yeah, it's been tough to watch.
Oh, it's been tough to watch.
Their shooting woes are atrocious.
But that's league-wide, by the way. Have you noticed that? The scoring is way down. It was like 5% down, which is pretty massive. And lowest field goal percentage in years, 44.8 in about
overall.
In since 2012. 3-point shooting is down to 34.3%, lowest since 1999.
Yeah.
Now, why is that?
You want me to tell you why?
New basketball.
Joel Embiid said something about that new ball. And that's the first I'd heard of it, actually.
They've gone from Wilson from Spalding.
Yes.
That, I think, is part of it. The other part of it is now the way the game is played, you know, with guys shooting the open threes. So you're not – finally, the evolution has come. You know, the guys they call D and three.
Yeah.
This is what you want, Rich, in a player. Well, the D part is more – probably they don't give up those three – you don't see the wide-open looks anymore. The defenses are rotating way faster than before. I think you'll see the smart coaches will start going back to taking the ball down the lane, taking the easier shot, going back to 2-point, more likely to score.
But it's say, JC, that the league is cracking down on those foul hunters.
Yeah,
they are.
You know, the free throws are down to 19.9 versus 21.7, down significantly.
Yeah. James Harden's been bitching about it since the.
But that's a basketball play, isn't that strategy?
It was a
foul hunting.
Well, but that was something new.
Yeah.
You know, there was I never heard of the fact that they had to give you some place to come down.
Right,
there was no place to come down. No. You know, the whole game has changed since the advent of Steph Curry. We could talk about this forever, or I could. You know, with Steph Curry changed basketball.
Yeah.
Completely changed basketball.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it's open season, and you see kids, Rich, you go to the gym and everything else. Kids are flinging it as soon as they come across. They don't even know how to shoot. They're throwing it like this.
They can barely get it to the rim, and they're all beyond the arc.
They're gunning it.
Yeah.
I can't get my 40 if I don't have the ball.
Right.
So, it's a bigger discussion.
Right. And like you said, things changing. Now the old-style big man is a dinosaur. Unless you're super athletic, you got to be able to switch and do all that stuff, and it's just...
Yeah, you got to be super athletic, like Bam Adebayo.
Yeah.
Some of these guys...
Absolutely.
But I think you're going to see it swing back, because it always does.
Right.
You know? You're going to see guys starting to carve out space with their butts in the low post.
Sure.
And because you score from there.
If you're cold from the three, you got to score somehow.
Or you get fouled to go to the line.
You'd rather take two if not not get anything.
Pistons have won one of six games, but they're still very much a work in progress.
Yeah.
Kate Cunningham's only played three games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Partial.
I heard you throw him under the bus partially yesterday.
Yeah, well, I mean, his numbers are horrific. terrific shooting-wise.
They don't even, but they haven't even practiced, right. Keith. I mean, the guy, you know, you've got to get, and like I said, the same thing happened last year for Casey. They're going to find some time here, especially over Thanksgiving and stuff like this, where the team will, you know, I'm certainly not giving up on the Pistons. Let's see where
I agree.
20 games.
18-10 and 4 assists last night is not bad.
Yeah, not bad.
Not bad.
Against a pretty good Philadelphia team.
Yep.
All right, when we return here on Friday, face-off, we'll check in with James Cook from the Record Eagle and talk a little high school football. But as we talk about the NBA is celebrating the 75th anniversary season on a FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can place their first risk-free bet. And if you don't win, you'll get up to $1,000 back. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, now is the perfect time to give it a shot. Build a same-game parlay and choose from player point totals or rebounds, the point spread, or the under, the money line, and more. I bet on NBA FanDuel because when I win, and I've been winning, they pay me as little as 2 hours, and there are odds boosts and specials every day. And some of these odds boosts are great, folks. See for yourself while FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook app.
Sign up with the promo code WGRY to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000 and make every NBA moment more. That's promo code WGRY.
21 and present in Michigan to win. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help.
Back after these on Friday Faceoff on Up North Sports Radio. Welcome back to Friday Faceoff on Up North Sports Radio. Jerry Coyne, Keith Gabridge, Calkins in studio. James Cook from the Traverse City Record Eagle is on with us. James, quite a wild week in high school football last weekend.
Yeah, and a busy one coming up this weekend too. I mean, you've got all those playoff games, all the teams that survived last week, plus volleyball districts and the Iceman here in Traverse City. So quite a bit going on this week.
Yeah, that mountain bike race, the Iceman Cometh, is, it really became quite a big thing over there in the Grand Traverse area, James.
Yeah, it's in its 32nd year now, and it's a big thing. I mean, a few thousand riders come into this thing. There's they estimate about 12,000 spectators come and watch this event, and it's quite the thing to take in. If somebody hasn't, I would recommend going to see it once. There's also a pretty good, party kind of going on with the spectators and everything. So there's stuff to do other than just watch people go by in muddy bikes.
Yeah, it's certainly.
I hope so.
Interactive.
What was your biggest surprise from the results of last weekend, James?
I guess the Boyne Grayling game being that close wasn't a surprise, but it was kind of a relief, I guess. It's one of those games that you hope lives up to the hype, and I think it absolutely did. Boyne coming into Grayling and winning that one was maybe a bit of a surprise to some people, but we kind of know going into that these two teams were pretty well evenly matched, and Boyne had the revenge factor after having lost to him last year. So that was just an incredible game between two great teams and two of the best running backs in the area, in Bobby Hoth and David Milliken.
Yeah, too bad the weather played such a factor to not allow any extra points to be kicked.
Yeah, exactly. That was one of those misty, rainy nights. And another game down in the central Michigan area, James, was Clare going into Gladwin after Clare had lost to Gladwin for the Jack Pine Championship. Man, Clare went to Gladwin and absolutely dominated that game.
Yeah, and that was a game, Tim Wooer thought that Kingsley could draw Clare in the first round if they had beaten St. Francis. So that was a team he was really worried about. He said if we get them in the first round, that's not going to be a cakewalk. They ended up not getting a cakewalk anyway, playing Kingsford, and that ended up being a pretty solid game too. But Clare is definitely a team that was on Tim Wooer's radar, and he was worried about going into the playoffs there. So they get them now, And, you know, should be another good game there at Rhodes Field. And then those two teams have never played before.
Yeah, that's the shocking part of that is, you know, both teams in the playoffs perennially and not too far away.
They change divisions a couple of times and things like that.
They do adjust to those accordingly. But, that Clare at Kingsley game tonight, again, don't be deceived by the Clare record of 7-3. They've played above their level. They've played Division IV teams. They're the real deal. And Kingsley and Tim Wooer is absolutely right. You know, he's got to have his team ready to play because Clare for sure is the real deal.
Mm-hmm. And the playoff schedule around here is just pretty loaded this week too.
Yeah.
Just all around.
Yes.
You know, you've got Traverse City Central's bringing in Bay City Western, who's, you know, I did a story on them yesterday. They're ranked number 10 in the state. They got a win over Midland Dow last week, a team that they lost to during the regular season in spectacular fashion.
Yeah.
Bay City Western was ahead of Midland Dow in that game 44-16 in the fourth quarter.
Wow.
And lost.
Wow. How is that even possible?
Midland Dow recovered 3 straight onside kicks.
Holy cow. That's amazing. I did not hear about
that. That's a bad beat.
No, yeah, that is. Yeah. I'm surprised Scott Van Pelt didn't play that one. But, that TC Central Bay City Western game, again, at Thurlby Field tonight, that's going to be a precursor to next year with Central joining the Saginaw Valley.
Right on the schedule.
Yep.
Who's St. Francis got, guys?
All 4 teams were in that whole district. We're Saginaw Valley League, and Traverse City Central got its first introduction into that by, you know, just totally destroying Saginaw Heritage last week.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then St. Francis plays on Saturday. They host McBain.
Whoa.
So that'll be two games at Thurlby, one tonight, one tomorrow.
What's McBain's? Is this your
typical
good McBain team? No? Okay. McBain.
Yeah, McBain 7-3. They're coming in off a win over Everett. Which is a team that, from what I've heard, was substantially weakened by a COVID outbreak at the school over the last couple of weeks. But still, McBain handled business, got past them in the playoffs last week, and now they get rewarded by playing the number one team in the state.
Yeah, in their backyard. Yeah, they got problems.
Yeah, for sure.
But McBain has had really good teams over the years.
They've had great basketball teams in years past. A couple of Division VIII games. Also, that Inland Lakes and Sutton's Bay game is going to be a big one, James.
Yeah, that's the one that I'm heading to tonight.
Cool.
I
love it.
You know, two 10-0 teams, both ranked in the top 10. This is another one where those two teams have not played each other very much, which is odd considering that they're not that far apart as far as, geography in northern Michigan. Teams are used to playing teams an hour away or so, and they've only ever played each other 5 times. Inland Lakes has won 3 of those, but they were supposed to play last year, and Inland Lakes had to forfeit that in the semifinals to Sutton's Bay because of a COVID outbreak at the school, so that was a step there on Sutton Bay's path to another state final, and they're looking to get back to a third one this year with another win if they can get one Friday.
Right.
We were talking about the Boyne City being the benefactor of a couple of lucky breaks and a win over Grayling, and they get Standish Sterling for their pleasure.
Yeah, Standish Sterling is not a bad team. They're not ranked in the top 10 or anything like Boyne is, but coming in at 8-2, you know, they're a pretty good team. They haven't had, you know, that school hasn't had a winning record since 2013. In that year they went 9-2. They won a district, which is what they have a chance to do this time. But, Boyne looked really impressive in that game against Grayling. Their defense did a really good job of David Milliken did his thing and still got like 153 yards and scored all 3 touchdowns for Grayling, but they did a pretty good job of taking away the other pieces, to a large part of Grayling's offense. And the rain didn't help.
No.
Obviously. But, Grayling still did get a couple of big plays, through the air and everything and stuff, but Boyne just did a really good job of taking away those other pieces aside from Milliken and just saying, you know, we're gonna take our chances with Milliken, and it panned out.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Heading down 131 on the west side of the state, two traditional powers meet up with Montague, the defending state champ in Division Six. They play at Reed City. That should be a great matchup as well, James.
Yeah, both those teams are a little bit outside of our coverage area, but, you know, Montague was one of the teams, they played Grayling last year in the semifinals and were able to get by them. And it was funny because over the summer I was at a brewery in Montague, and I see this
what?
Table next to me of all these guys in this. Yeah, and I see this table next to me of all these guys that were in Montague stuff, and I'm like, well, that's probably got to be the football coach's staff. So I just go over and start talking to them, and they were still going on about David Milliken from Grayling in that game, and they were completely shocked that he was only a junior and was going to be coming back for his senior year and really didn't seem to want to have to play him.
Yeah, that's the ultimate. And, you know, you get some of your best contacts at breweries and different things, James, so good job, buddy.
Always working.
Yeah, always.
Especially with that big stipend that you get from the Record Eagle.
Oh, yeah.
Well, also, just a little bit outside the coverage area there, James, because some of these games, obviously, just outside maybe our listening area, but still great matchups. Mount Pleasant takes on DeWitt, another defending state title holder.
Yeah, DeWitt has, they have what may be the best passing game of any high school team I've seen in recent memory. I saw them actually play the first week in the Big House when they played Traverse City Central, and they have a quarterback who just has a cannon and is incredibly accurate on top of that. And they've got just two dynamic playmakers at wide receiver. They also have, from what I've heard, a pretty good running back, although Central kind of took him away in that game. But, you know, DeWitt's the defending state champions for a reason, and that's their only loss to Traverse City Central is that game in week one to DeWitt.
Yeah, exactly. And over in the eastern part of the UP, two teams very familiar with each other in another eight-man matchup is Rudyard and Newberry.
Yeah, and they're going to get the winner, I think, of that Suttons Bay game, of the Suttons Bay Inland Lakes game. So people down here kind of should be keeping an eye on that one as well. One of the other area teams' games also is in the UP. And that's Charlevoix going up to Ishpeming to play Ishpeming Westwood. This is another game where those two teams have never played each other before this.
That's crazy.
But,
too.
You know,
I know.
Charlevoix has won seven straight games. And so they're looking to make that eight after Westwood beat East Jordan fairly handily last week in the opening of the playoffs. But, Ishpeming Westwood looks pretty good on paper. So does Charlevoix.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, those Western UP teams, you don't get a lot of fancy offenses. You don't get a lot of that stuff. They just block, tackle, run the ball, very fundamental, and they don't make a lot of mistakes.
Mm-hmm. And then the winner of that game gets the winner of Traverse City St. Francis and McBain in the next round, which will, if it's Traverse City St. Francis, it'll be in Traverse City.
Yeah, that's. Are there any other games that are standing out to you, James?
I believe that's all the football games that we have in our coverage area. We've got Cadillac Whitehall.
Oh, that's right.
We forgot about Cadillac.
Yeah,
my bad.
No, my bad too. I didn't want to overlook that for sure. That's a Whitehall team that's really good.
Yeah, both of these teams are ranked in the top 10. They're both 8-2. Cadillac's getting the home game in this one, so that's got to be a little bit of an advantage for them. Both were pretty good wins last week. Cadillac beat Fruitport in a little bit of a track meet, 42-35, and then Whitehall, they beat Sparta by 20. So, Cadillac's offense, I mean, you know that they pound the ball. They don't throw the ball a whole lot. Kind of almost like a UP team, like you said, and right. And they play really, really good defense generally too. Whitehall lost to Reed City, who we mentioned earlier, But that's not a bad loss. I mean, Reed City is a pretty darn good team.
No, and for Cadillac to win in a track meet, that's not their comfort zone. They like low-scoring games, and like you said, run the ball, play good defense, and they like the scores down in the low 20s.
Yeah, we should have Coach Mallory on tomorrow during the high school scoreboard show. Hopefully they have good news.
Right.
But that's been a battle-tested team, fought out of their league in a number of games, Rich.
Absolutely.
But this is a team that lost in the state finals, and I think no matter what, kind of like the Traverse City St. Francis mentality,
right?
We're going to win this year.
Yeah.
And no matter how we have to do it.
And they're not afraid to play close games.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes teams will freak out if there's a close game. Cadillac is not like that at all. They'll play those hard-fought close games.
He's done a great job down there. Yeah. I give them all the credit in the world. Just so I know you guys are dying to know, Brother Rice is... Brother Rice is playing St. Mary's.
Yes.
To advance out of the districts in a classic Catholic League matchup.
Orchard Lakes, absolutely. St. Mary's, absolutely. That's just they obviously won handily last week. Brother Rice did.
And so did Catholic Central.
Yes.
They've got West Bloomfield.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a tremendous West Bloomfield team, a team that won, they lost the state semifinals last year. West Bloomfield's had a great football program the last few years, lost their head coach who's on Michigan staff now.
Yeah.
But that's still going to be two wild football games tonight down there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yep. We got to stay connected to the Metro Detroit area.
Well, they came up here.
They
and
did.
I know they garnered a lot of fans. And then, James, I know you were talking a little bit about volleyball. Give us the other sports real quick before we let you go.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you want to take in some volleyball on Saturday, there's two district championships that are being played in Traverse City.
Can't think of anything better.
The first one is at noon at Traverse City Central. Elk Rapids and Traverse City St. Francis are playing each other in Division III. That district has moved from Glen Lake because of a COVID outbreak there. And then at 6 o'clock, Petoskey is playing Traverse City West for a Division I district title at Traverse City West at 6 o'clock.
There you go.
Hey, my daughter played 6 years of middle school, high school volleyball. I spent a lot of time on weekends at tournaments, so I know all about those games. So
keep it fair, ref. Keep it fair.
That's right.
James, any idea what's going to be on the Get Around podcast?
Oh, we'll have to see what happens on Friday night and all those football playoff games.
All right.
And Saturday. And then we'll go from there. It's going to be a day later this week because Brennan's off on Monday, but we'll do the podcast on Tuesday this week.
All right, good deal. James Cook from the Traverse City Record Eagle. Look forward to reading all your reports tomorrow and see what happened in all the action across the state.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thanks,
all right, thank you. Yeah, Rich, do we, you get to kick back around? Are you going to a game tonight, or are you going to cool your heels?
I'm taking a week off and then waiting to see how things play out, and then I will pick one next week and definitely be heading out on the road. And.
Well, I know you're going to either follow St. Francis or TC Central.
Yes.
Looks like both of them will probably have one more game at Thurlby Field at least.
I think so, yes, yeah. Exactly.
So and keep your media pass.
Absolutely. I was just going to say, those media passes this time of year come in handy.
Come in handy. Get a little sandwich, a little Toll House cookie action.
Oh, absolutely. Man, that the best press box we've been in, right, Thurlby Field.
No, Todd, those Toll House cookies are better. God bless you, Mom. They're
yep, great. And the cookies and Jimmy John's subs. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Josh. Traverse City, Jimmy John's, a fine supporter of Traverse City West Athletics.
Yeah.
Rachel and I will be in tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock.
10 o'clock to go over all the action that takes place tonight.
The Bill Marsh High School scoreboard show should be fast and furious. We'll have some coaches on. Probably have a couple of our coaches, Coach Vaughn and... Coach Tunney, just to give a little wrap-up on their seasons after the dust has settled. Kind of hard to get. I know that you didn't get with Coach Vaughn after the game.
No, we did not.
When the season comes to an end like that, especially when you got a lot of seniors, it's It's almost impossible to try to get.
It is. There was an injury that had taken place with Will Gaston on the field, and he had to go to the hospital. So Coach Vaughn went to the hospital right after the game, after meeting with the seniors. So totally understood. And I text Coach, and we exchanged, you know, information.
There. No, I get it 100%. And I know you had Coach Tunney's remarks a little bit on last week's scoreboard show, but. Give those guys a little bit of time to break down the season, and we'll talk to Cody Mallory from Cadillac, hopefully off a winning game. We'll talk to Coach Eric Sugars and give you the laydown on everything that happened in the world of high school football, not only in Northern Michigan but all over the state. So we'll look forward to hearing from you tomorrow. Thanks for joining us here on Friday Faceoff, brought to us by our good friends at Odell Casino in Mackinac City and Petoskey.